The first day's drive had been tan and parched, the hillsides littered with beige rocks. Every once in a while, a tiny funnel of wind ran up a dry wash and spiraled a handful of dust across the interstate. Jesse had seen no wildlife, no vegetation other than a lifeless-looking desert scrub. He saw no water until he crossed the Colorado River near Needles. He was driving the Explorer. He'd left Jennifer the red Miata with a balloon note that she'd pay out of her first big break, she said. Now, on his second day out, he was still in the mountains east of Flagstaff. Green, clean, cool, full of evergreen trees. Elliot had probably already screwed her under a tree. By the time he had reached Albuquerque, he'd dropped 2,000 feet, though he was still high. It was impossible to drive across the country without imagining Indians and cavalry and wagon trains and mountain men and Wells Fargo and the Union Pacific. Deerskin trousers and coats made of buffalo hide and long rifles and traps and whiskey and Indians. He stopped for gas at an Indian reservation in New Mexico. He didn't know what kind of Indians they were, hoping maybe or Pima. He didn't know anything about Indians. The gas was cheaper on the reservation, and so were cigarettes, because neither was subject to federal tax. A couple of Indian men in jeans and white t-shirts and plastic mesh baseball caps were hanging around the self-service pump. One of them eyed the California plates on the car. "Where are you headed?" he said in that indefinable Indian accent. "Massachusetts," Jesse said. The two men looked at each other. "Massachusetts," one of them said. "All the way to Massachusetts?" the other one said. "Yeah." "Driving?" "All the way." "You gotta be shitting me, mister. Massachusetts?" Jesse nodded. "Massachusetts," he said. "Jesus." As Jesse pulled away from the pumps, he could see the two Indian men looking after him, talking excitedly. "Massachusetts." There was nothing else in the shale and scrub landscape but the station and the two men.